Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to The Other Side of Midnight, the last program of this week, closing out the first month of the new year. Oh my God, there's only 11 months left. Where did 2016 go? Anyway, this morning we're going to take you from the inner reaches of your own mind to the outer limits, across the breadth of the solar system. We are going to give you a show this morning worthy of Donald Trump. You know, when I see all this hoopla going on down here on Earth, and I look at what we have found, and when I say we, I mean the folks on this show are going to tell you this morning about amazing stuff they have found out there. There is zero doubt now. Let me repeat that. There is zero doubt that there are not ancient artifacts all around us in the solar system. And yet what we see on network television, what we see occupying everybody's attention, is this dog and pony show, this circus. In fact, I think Showtime even has a political show with the two political reporters from Bloomberg called The Circus. How appropriate. Anyway, we're all covering the circus, and the real stuff, this incredible, awesome, unimaginable to most people reality all around us, which we have tried to get NASA for decades and decades and decades to open up and tell us the truth. For some reason now, they are quietly inundating us, showering us, flooding us with stunning imagery all over the internet. Real images of real ancient extraterrestrial artifacts built by someone, and not a word in academia, not a word in science, not a word from the White House, not a word from anywhere that this reality is in fact engulfing us, even as we're preoccupied by the bright lights in Iowa in the next couple of mornings. So, this morning's program is going to feature the kind of the good, the bad, and the ugly of extraterrestrial research. We're going to talk about some real stuff, some astonishing new real stuff which has come in. For instance, if you go to othersideofmidnight.com, click on Radio with Pictures in the upper right-hand corner, that will take you to tonight's show. And link number one is a story that was posted literally a few hours ago about Pluto being covered in ice, in frozen water, as determined now by the spectral maps that the New Horizons spacecraft has beamed back and that had been assembled by Alan Stern and his team, the New Horizons team. Well, anyway, Pluto is covered with water. Now, on the surface of that, that doesn't seem to, you know, be a big deal. Except at those distances, water is a structural material. Water is like granite. Water is like what Pluto's built out of. If Pluto is indeed a part of the Kuiper Belt, if Pluto is part of this exotic chemistry of the distant outer solar system and always was out there where it is tonight, then where did all the water on the surface, with some striking exceptions at Sputnik Planum at 19.5, where did all that water surrounding that location come from? Anyway, just one of the interesting new questions that we'll talk about this morning, because this new discovery, this confirmation, now fits into the alternative model for Pluto. Item number two in Radio with Pictures is an awesome, amazing video animation of actual imagery from the Dawn spacecraft as it's orbiting now at the, down at the 240-mile distance above Pluto. And they fly over this pyramidal mountain, this 10-mile-wide, 4-mile-high pyramidal mountain, the only one of its kind on this entire little mini planet, this 600-mile-wide number one asteroid, until it was demoted to a dwarf planet along with the other political repercussions of Pluto's demotion in 2006. Anyway, my guests this morning are going to tackle the real stuff and the fake stuff, because as all this new real stuff is being graciously laden all over the internet for anyone to partake and ask questions and dig and probe and Google and join groups and begin to ask questions and blog and communicate and Twitter and all that good stuff, into this heaven of disclosure has crept the demon of disinformation, because there are apparently a lot of sites on the internet, and more growing every day, that make it a specialty, make it a pride of a profession to put out as much fake stuff for people out there, unsuspecting folks, looking now, asking questions, seeing things that don't belong in these images that no one is talking about except us. And so they look for answers and they wind up falling in the first crevasse they encounter. And so my guests this morning, Keith Laney, Andrew Curry, Will Farrer, Bob Harrison, and Alan Sturm. Actually, Alan will not be with us because Alan had prior commitments and he graciously begs off, and he promises he'll be here for the next show, where we're going to be tackling another whole mystery, so Alan's talents will be very important. So, gentlemen, with that intro, where would you like to begin?
Good morning, Richard.
Is this Will?
Yeah, this is Will. I might as well speak up.
I will. first person, first bird, early bird, all that good stuff. Yeah, so why don't we start with you, because you have the interface to tens of thousands of people over the Internet, and you get an awful lot of stuff kicked at you that you then have to defend or investigate or knock down or whatever. And I think Keith has a more sophisticated approach that he's going to get to in a few minutes. So let's start with you, Will.
I like that idea there. And we do have a lot of people in our groups now. Keith has been slowly joining them as well. And it's amazing how many people are interested in this stuff. And in our groups, a lot of this stuff gets tossed back and forth, pictures that, you know, don't really go public or weren't designed to go public. It's more of an inner, let's talk about it. And we can get back and forth with the conversation on it. And it's been out there how we've been hijacked in many ways. So let's start with my number four. If you go down to four and click on the Obama's head found on Mars. So if you go to Radio with Pictures, for people who are not on your computers, go to othersideofmidnight.com, click on the other side, or what is it, Radio with Pictures up in the top right-hand corner?
That's where it is. You're getting good at this.
And then number four, fakes, President Obama's head. Now, take you to my website.
Clicking on fakes. And there's a lot of people clicking on fakes because it's taking a while to come up.
Yeah, it just...
Well, that's good.
It is good to hear.
Yeah. There's lots of folks out there up at this time of the other side of midnight. Oh, it's still taking a while to come up. Come on. Okay. It's done something. I think I may have to... There we are. Okay, fakes. President Obama's head on Mars. Oh, how bizarre. How absolutely, incredibly bizarre. Take it away, Will.
All right. So this was about a year ago, maybe a little bit over a year ago, in November, that a site we're going to be talking a little bit about tonight, well, probably a lot about, because Keith really gets into them in his work, the way he lays it out. And if you start at image one up at the top, but this is from a UFO blog called UFO – basically, it's
UFO Sightings Daily.
Yeah, there are UFO sightings daily.
Oh, we and every practice day they that come so up, much.
And he posts stuff every day. His name's Scott Waring. He's got it, does it. And this is one of the main blogs that put out that really where if one of my links are shared there, it gets a lot more hits than what would happen if I just do it through our little, you know, the Twittering and going out. We're talking maybe 10,000 more hits on of them.
So this guy has an audience.
He's got an audience, and he's got a lot of people that come there. So he's got a big, I think, a big burden on his shoulder to carry the truth. If you read his profile on the website, and you can go to his website by clicking on it. But I basically have his article linked here, where the first picture is image one.
Okay.
Where he basically says, and at first this came out with the link didn't say Obama, because the next – I'll tell you how that came about here in a second. It just has said bust, basically, a human bust found on Mars. And he was going through a gigapan. A lot of people are using these gigapans, which are great. They're these big, huge panoramas. You can zoom in really good on them, and they're wonderful for finding stuff. But after that, you need to go back and find the original work that it came from.
And Will, this is a crucial step that most newcomers to this field, and it's gaining a lot of people because there's interest out there. It's going viral the way we would hope it would. The problem is there's nobody teaching classes in how to do this the right way.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and it's a very crucial step is to go find there. You can find it in many different ways, but go find the science data, basically. Go find the raw data, because when you're doing these someone puts a gigapan together. My friend Neville Thompson does it. He does an amazing job putting these gigapans together. It takes hours and hours. I think he's done the panoramas better than NASA has in many ways. That came from one of his, this Everest Panorama. That's linked on there as well.
And now the name Everest Panorama is the name that NASA gave to this pan that came down from the Curiosity spacecraft, right?
Yeah, it was a Spirit spacecraft.
Oh, but okay, okay, all right. So let me describe a little how this is done. The spacecraft does not have panoramic cameras. Its spacecraft has cameras that take pictures, and they're framing pictures. Like they've got so many pixels, you know, left and right, so many pixels up and down. To take a panorama, you've got to take lots of little pictures and then assemble them in the computer with the right software to account for the geometry so that you see a seamless or almost seamless panorama of what you would see standing next to the spacecraft if you were on Mars.
Absolutely. And you don't get 100% all the time. You're going to get things layover. It's the spacecraft, more so Curiosity, does have settings for it, but these weren't really – they were designed to make them. But when you stitch this stuff together, some of the rocks overlap. We've shown that before in the past. So you've got to go back and get that raw data. So that's a crucial step for all the newcomers out there, anybody who may be listening, getting into this, is go find the raw data, which is not that hard. You know, you see that Everest Panorama says it's from Sol, which is the Martian day that the rover had been there from the day it landed, and like 6:20. So you just pull it up and you go look for it. Usually it's 45 to 200 pictures you can look through, and it took me 5 minutes to find the original one here. On where, so basically after 5 minutes of research, you would have came down to image. Well, after 5 minutes of research, that's the crucial research to actually looking at this and saying, okay, is this a bust or is it just some rocks laying there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we go down to image two, and this is where
– this is now on your page.
On my page, yes, okay. On under the fake Obama head there. Number two, this is a YouTube video that was put out the same day that Scott wrote his article talking about there being a bust.
This is the guys that call themselves Paranormal Crucible.
Yeah, it's been out – it's hit their internet like a storm there. Their work has – and. To me, it's a storm, a messy storm that's laden with false information, and we're really going to see it here. And basically, so they took the picture from Scott. I don't think they took the time to do the research either, obviously, mm-hmm. to go and to get the raw image. And if you come down to image three, I went ahead and did it. You can see right next to it the difference.
Oh, my God. They totally faked it.
It's totally faked. And my friend, just before going on, said, well, the rocks aren't fake. I was like, well, to me, it's the actual version, you know, the enhanced version that Paranormal Crucible's video. They say that they use techniques to pull out the nose view.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah, they actually say that in there and then talk about – they make claims about Obama being a – you know, a clone, and that UFO conspirators have talked about that. So now they lump a whole lot of conspiracy with the picture that they...
Well, it's the old classic spaghetti technique. You throw enough nonsense on the wall, you hope enough of it sticks so that the real honest people coming and looking for anomalies and a science that proves what's out there, you totally lock them away in a dungeon and keep them from ever knowing the truth or how to even find the truth.
And absolutely. And if you see here in that, I mean, with the comparison, there's no doubt that, you know, that's not a picture of Obama. There's no likeness to him. It's just a rock in the foreground that's very dark because it has the sun off of its side. So you're seeing the dark edge and then some other features. Now, if you look at it, maybe stare at it for a little while, it does kind of look like a human head. A lot of that. What we'll talk about, you know, the matrixing and your head will do that. You know, if you look at things too long, sometimes I do that a lot with my pictures. I'll before making a video, I'll give it a day or two, let it sink in sure.
Okay, so you have proven with NASA data, original NASA data, that these two websites, the one run by Scott, what's his name, Waring, and the Paranormal Crucible, they're both basically wrong. and one may be honestly misjudging a figure, a rock or whatever. But the other guys, the Paranormal Crucible guys, obviously just took, you know, paintbrush and Photoshop, and they went to town and they created a wonderful vision of something that looks like kind of like Homo erectus that has nothing to do with what's really on Mars. And they're getting, I mean, if you keep scrolling down, you're showing there's a lot of money in it for these people faking this.
Absolutely. Some people are going to really fall off their chairs when they hear how much money is involved with this. And with all disclosure, I've run a YouTube channel that is monetized, and my videos make ad money, and I do have some up to this, but this is 2-minute videos with nobody speaking. Mine are like 30-minute videos that really don't go viral too often. So right. We're not making a killing out. So I will want to put that out first, because a lot of the criticism that will come in, oh, you run that too. That one video of Obama, after it ran viral, and as we scroll down, we'll see, they made anywhere from $100 to $800. And
How does this work? Take us through how it works.
Here's how it works. There's a website called socialblade.com, and if you're interested in what your favorite YouTube stars make, go to this website, and you type in their handle. And say if you typed in What's Up in the Sky 37 or Paranormal Crucible, you'll find – you know, a list of names that match, and you'll click it, and they basically watch the stats, and they have an algorithm that will take it. And being an AdSense user, which is, it's through Google that this happens, I'd say right about probably in the middle of that 100 to 800 is probably a fair estimate, because you never know on any given day what it would be. Right. But that's only 216,000 on this one. There's videos, if you go down and look at their actual channel, which is filled with stuff like this, and Keith's really going to get into them with some more of them, because as blatant as the head on Mars was, and they're going to claim, as they did, lack of, you know, they didn't go out and get the thing. But you can
they didn't go out and get what? Original data?
The raw data. That's what.
Well, then it's pointless. You blow them away on that basis alone. You can't do science on second, third, fourth, fifth sources. You got to go to the original. That's the first rule.
I've learned it along the way, and that's the reason I started my site, because I wanted to make sure that I gave a link to the image out, so you know you can go out and find it yourself.
Yeah, you can tell the real sites from the fake sites is that the real sites, the folks that are really trying to get to the bottom of this, they will always give you a NASA image number from the archives, the NASA archives. So you can go independently to NASA's archives, pull up that image, run your own processing, and then compare. And the fake sites don't do that. And I've chased so many images that looked amazing, and it turns out they are fake. Like the famous one, the most famous one I can think of, is the checkerboard in, what's the name of that crater? It's not Hall. Come on, Will, you know the name. Everybody's been talking about it for years. It looks like, you know, farm fields in Kansas.
Oh, Inca City?
No. This is somewhere. It's a very deep crater. It's up near the equator on Mars. It's only been sighted for this anomaly in the bottom, taken by the Mars Express spacecraft decades ago. And I can't remember the name of the crater, darn.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's got that rounded.
Is it Hall?
Look to. I don't think it is. I don't think it is. Somebody just...
Okay, let me go and look and see if someone has found it. Okay, someone's going to find it. Anyway, that anomaly I proved to my own... no, it's not Schiaparelli, I don't think. My own satisfaction, because when I went and got the original ESA data, the black and white images, and I went looking, nothing is there, not a trace of the geometry. If people were looking at the 3D, reenactments, recreations, based on the 2D ESA data, and it was the algorithm that created the 3D that also created the geometry, and that mythology, which I think was an honest mistake by the original discoverers, that has persisted in the literature and across the web for decades, almost, you know, since, well, Mars Express went into orbit in 2003. So since 2003, and it's totally wrong. It's not deliberately fake. It's a total misunderstanding of the process, but it went viral, and it's what people think of when they think ancient cities on Mars. They think of this stuff, which is not real.
Yeah, which isn't out of true raw data. It gets back to that link, back
You've
to that NASA data.
You've got to go to the first image that NASA or ESA or the Japanese or the Russians or the Chinese or the Indians or all the folks that are out there now, including Google, take. You got to go to the first original images, and then you work from there. First rule, right?
Yep. So are you sitting down, everybody? So you want to hear what they might make this year from their videos or 2-minute videos, usually that have whatever paranormal is going around that week. They just jump on and put it out. Up to $160,000 possibly that they could make from this channel. Yeah, and that's, to be honest with you, they've just put out another
video. They're making almost $200,000 from fooling people and faking this stuff?
Yes, they are, and that's a very low ball. That's from the last year's data, but with the way their channel's jumped in subscribers over the last, so people are picking up and thinking, hey, this is real data, or interesting data. You know, I'm subscribed to their channel, and you hit the subscribe button, and they get it in their feed. They've got, I would say that they're most likely going to blow that away in the next year if they keep getting as many hits as they do. As much as exposure, they're going to be – I mean, you're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's why I said if you're really interested in what your favorite YouTube star makes, go look at socialblade.com, and you can put in all the channels, and pretty much almost every channel is on there that's monetized. So that's why I think, you know, that they're in it for. I don't necessarily – I think it was just basically everything about it seemed like it was a – business type. It's
well, wait. You have the perfect storm. Obviously, this is not the CIA doing this, but wouldn't it be interesting if they're kind of fronting these groups through third and fourth and fifth parties and interlocking directorates and all the crap you can, you know, put together to basically hide your paper trail? You really think it's only greed, or it's greed plus politics, because the greed is so there that you can easily get a sucker to set up a website and do this. And if the you-know-what ever hit the fan, you wouldn't take the hit. The guy with the website would take the hit when things turn around politically.
Every once in a while, I've got to look at my website and think the same thing. Or am I being used to get put out this information? You know, you've really got to think.
Yes.
Even look at yourself many times. Take a look in the mirror and say, you know, you're absolutely right, because it's so easy to feed these images via the somebody can email them, their all the social stuff. I mean, you run across it, and people are interested. That's the one thing about this. See that they have so many subscribers. I think it was I don't know the exact number, but that. People are interested in this stuff.
That shows us that we're moving the populace in the right direction. The problem is, because people are getting interested, then they set up all these fake sand traps so that all the interest is gobbled up by fake stuff. It's just like NASA claiming through many, many surrogates that we never landed on the moon. Because remember, I've now proven in Dark Mission that I was there when this false story, this false trail was begun by NASA itself, even before the Apollo 11 astronauts had made it back to Earth. So, based on that, guys, the rest of you, Keith and Andrew and Bob, why don't you join in here and tell us individually what you think of this, of the problem, and how we can solve this. How do we get the fakes taken down so the real stuff shines through?
Well, morning, Richard. I'm not really sure how we do that other than show that it's fake. I mean, it's pretty obvious they have quite a following, and people are interested in this. And you know, and you have thousands of people that are looking at the images and trying to see what they can find in it that are, you know, that are strange, and they're amateurs. And you know, they see stuff like this and they ask, you know, post it on Facebook or post it in one of their little Mars groups, and these people scoop up on it and fake it up and sell it. It's odious to me. It's reprehensible. And you know, the thing about this is when they do this, normally the media picks up on it on the same day, and there's a story in it with a nice boilerplate pareidolia statement at the end of it. Not a hint that it's fake. Not a hint. Not a bit of investigation going, hey, this isn't even on the real images.
Well, obviously it's designed to politicize it so where no one can figure out anything. By the way, I'm hearing my voice coming back. Someone's got a link open somewhere, so let's not put that on the air.
if you look at image six there, that is the box that one of the first people that picked that, the Barack Obama's head on Mars,
right,
put Scott's article together. They put in that video into the link, and you can see it's the first link. The Daily Mail does this, and they have this box now ready to go.
This is way down on your page.
Yeah, image six, right after where you get to see the amount of money that they might make putting these together. Then the media takes over, and just like Keith was just saying, they got this stuff canned, ready to go. Pareidolia. You can see the President Obama's face on it. Everything about it is canned. They've got in every one of the articles, and even at the bottom of the page, I show one that they did of mine. We talked about the coffin on Mars before. They have this same box with the orange at the top, ready to go, and then it gets picked up by the rest. It's amazing. Sometimes this stuff.
This stuff. Will, do we lose you?
I think we lost Will.
Will? Okay, let me try to get him back. We've got about 3 minutes to the bottom of the hour. Robert, what do you have to say on? And I'm hearing my voice coming back, so someone has a link somewhere open. So let me try to reconnect with Will.
Hey, Richard?
Yeah, I'm here.
Good morning.
Andrew, good morning.
You know, what's interesting is you constantly mention on air how there's an unprecedented amount of data being released by all these space agencies, and almost like an inverse effect is the rise in all of this noise that seems to be coming with all these fake anomaly websites and the such.
Well, unless you want me to say it, you can say it. What do you think's going on?
Well, I think it's just to totally confuse the issue.
Exactly. Because if you can't hide it, if you dump all kinds of junk and noise on it, yep, ordinary people trying to make a living, put their kids through school, et cetera, they won't have the time to sort it out. And you're, yep, praying that they'll go with the authority figures and the flash and the kind of Trump, you know, the circus in town, and they'll ignore the real scholarship because the real scholarship is probably a little more boring than the fake stuff that is out there. Will you, are you back with us? Will?
Can you guys hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
All right, hold on. Let me try and flip back over to my speakers. This is the every time I come on your show, it's technology.
I know. It's technology central. I'll tell you what.
I'm back home. Okay. I was just about to say, it looks like it's about to hit 3:30, so go for it.
Yep. That's exactly what I was going to do. So we are at the bottom of the hour. My guests this morning are a very lively bunch. Keith and Will and Andrew and Bob and moi. This is Richard Riggs, Another Side of Midnight, a different mix. We're at the bottom of the hour. You're on The Other Side of Midnight. My name is Richard C. Hoagland, and we shall return.
Pyramids at Giza, you've arrived at the Club 19.5. Club 19.5. Club 19.5.
And we are back on this rather cool New Mexico morning in the land of enchantment. It's just above freezing, around 32, something like that. Anyway, my guests this morning, Keith Laney, Andrew Curry, Will Farrer, and Bob Harrison, we're discussing fakes. The idea that as NASA and the other agencies have, for whatever reason, reversed 50 years of cover-up and have been putting stunning image after image after image of all different places and all different artificial things that are now out there, there's been this rising crescendo on the Internet of sites sucking in naive people trying to keep up with this, trying to find out if it's real or whatever, and these sites suck them in. And they do a real number on their heads, and they turn them from honest investigators to people that don't know which artifact is up. Am I right, gentlemen?
Very correct.
So, Keith, continue.
We were looking at Will's stuff, but if you want to go...
Well, Will, have we kind of closed out your examples?
That's it. So somebody's got a little bit of an echo I can hear on it, but that's we're ready to go on over to Keith's stuff. He's got a great bunch of articles that have come out.
Super. Keith, you're up.
Well, I started looking at these and you know, seeing the sensational headlines and the media coverage and the videos and looking at it. And you know me, I'm an imager. And so whenever I see something like this, I'm going to go directly and do what Will says. I'm going to get the raw data and I'm going to look around.
Yeah, that's the first thing we all do. When we see something interesting, those of us that know how to do this, because we've been at this a little while, the first thing you do is go and find the NASA original or the S original or the Japanese or the Russian or whatever spacecraft ostensibly took this or mission or a country. Find the original. Do not go by what's on the web. Never, ever just go by what's on the web unless it is connected to original data step by step by step. Go on, please.
Well, you know, a lot of people think that that at the Curiosity site that those web display JPEGs that they have, you know, some of them, they're big and beautiful, but those aren't science data. Those are web JPEGs. They're for browsing. The actual science data for most of this is in the PDS already. It's you know, they dump it periodically, and that's raw science data. It's been calibrated and radiometrically corrected, and, you know, it's kosher for use. And you know, we even have non-compressed data, which you know what that means. Non-compressed means no JPEG artifacts whatsoever. Yeah, and it's really easy to locate. It's in the PDS, if anybody's familiar with that. But if you go to Radio with Pictures and go to link number 3, it's a whole lot of faking going on, and that'll take you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you'll see. And you see the pictures there. I'm handling 6 videos in this that seem really popular.
Oh, I have to read your headline. Plus, a lot of intellectual theft, fakery, greed, and plenty of stage media Mars anomaly investigation to go along with it. Shine some light through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I took that nice sunrise image of Mars to put right there below.
Which is a real image. That's a real, real, real image. Stunning image.
And yes, it is. But, you know, this page basically is long and drawn out. And you can read it later on, but what it says is what we're going to be discussing. And if you look down at the bottom of the page, you see where I got Shemp held up?
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is what we're doing to these people, okay? These are our anomalies. We've put our reputations on the line. We've done this for years for no profit, for, you know, just for the honesty of seeing what's there. And to have these people suborn what we're doing and lump us in the same group with these UFO conspiracy nuts that will paint things and will fake stuff and get in people's heads, and they're basically just psyops and they're media connected. That's not going to happen. This is going to happen. We're holding up the shimps here. Okay, if you go down to the bottom of that page, though, you'll see I've got links there that go to the actual pages that are in the study. And the first one is Alien Drone Found on Mars.
Okay,
it's link number 1 on the bottom of that page.
All right.
Okay, click on Alien Drone Found on Mars, and it opens up that particular page. And on this page, if everybody's there, you know, Alien Drone on Mars, that's the headline that came with this anomaly. This is not their anomaly. This was something that was seen by me, was noticed by a bunch of us who looked, because these
images. Well, it was noticed by me, and it's the one. Remember when I did the show when Art came back on Sirius a couple, 3 years ago? And we did a whole, I think we did 2 shows, and we did a whole evening of three hours or something on weird artifacts on the solar system. And I showed him number 9, which was this object on Mars, taken by Curiosity on its way, on its detour, before it finally headed for the mountain. And the object on the left on your page is the real image.
The object on the left is the real image made from a web JPEG. The one on the right is one that they say processed and enhanced.
Right,
but
right.
That's not processed.
No, of course not. No.
That's painted and faked.
Yeah.
Okay, and they've done this. They've done this just like Will said. They've done this to garner clicks and to confuse the issue. They didn't even discover this anomaly. The person that actually discovered this ought to be hopping mad and down their throat and on their YouTube channel and saying, "Hey, why did you steal my work?" That being said, you know, you can see here when I took the screen capture of their YouTube, it's the second picture down that says faked over it, and it's there. It shows Paranormal Crucible. They already had 281,000 hits on that thing, and that's not even theirs. They're one of several that have this on there, but they're the worst ones that painted it.
Oh, they totally painted it.
Okay. Well, if you go down right below that, right below the YouTube copy there, yeah. You'll see I've got an actual copy of the picture there made with the real NASA science data.
Right.
Okay, and if you click on it, it brings it up, and it shows you the scale, what the thing is. Okay, and it looks like a round object, but it could be anvil shaped. There's no really telling. In this case, what they're doing with their painting is destroying the validity of a very good anomaly.
Well, yeah, it's like taking an ancient archaeological artifact, you know, somewhere in the Middle East, taking it into a shop, making it all look brand new, and then putting it in the shop window and saying, "Here, buy this. You totally destroyed it, but buy it."
Right. Well, they've destroyed it, and then people look at this and go, "Oh, well, here's proof of it," and show their picture, and it's a painted bunch of nonsense. If you go right down below that picture, you'll see I've got a 3x enlargement right there on the page, and if you click on that, it opens up to a 5x enlargement, and that's actually what the raw science data says is there. And man,
are we talking about the one with the little inset?
Yeah. The one that's the one right below that.
The one, the double spread below it.
Yeah, the double spread, and they're large. That's like a, okay. That's a 3x enlargement.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we have two separate images. No, we have three.
Yeah, there are two separate images of that photo. One's a left eye, one's a right eye.
I thought there might have been three, but I know there are two, and so we have stereo.
Yes, there are two. I checked the host hall. And
yeah, after we did the show, I found the second one, and I sent that one to Art. And that really, I mean, Art basically turned around on the basis of this object, this artifact, the real one, number 9, and isn't it interesting that these folks chose that one to completely fake?
Yeah, well, I mean, because it destroys the validity of a very – man, this is one of the best anomalies I've ever seen laying on the ground around one of our craft. And I've looked at all of them because, you know, I was part of the MER program. I've looked at every one of these images, and that's one of the greatest anomalies I've yet seen laying there on the ground. To me, it looks
like – Well, up until that point, I think there's some better ones that came later in the mission.
Yeah, there's plenty. I mean, there's anomalies aplenty. I mean, the thing's running through what, like Will said, Uncle Jake's junkyard.
Well, yeah, and not stopping to look closely at anything. I mean, how can you name a damn spacecraft Curiosity when it exhibits no curiosity?
Well, they have their science goals that they have to put into effect, and that's not part of their science. Okay.
Well, wait a minute. You mean drum roll here, folks. You mean they have a hidden mission?
Oh, well, of course they do. You know every one of these missions has a hidden side. We've shown that over. But the object itself, to me, you know, it's alien drone. I don't even know where they get this. If it's anything at all, does it look like a hub of a wheel sitting there? I mean, that's what it looks like to me. Because the actual object is
actually,
like
what it looks like to me, you're not going to believe this. It looks like a Tesla turbine.
Yeah.
You know what a Tesla turbine is? Everybody out there in Google Land, go and find an image of a Tesla turbine and compare it side by side with this artifact on Mars, the real one, not the faked up one that they obviously painted over to hide the real one, and tell me if you don't think it looks similar to a Tesla turbine. And now again, we can know nothing. Gentlemen, would you agree that given that we're sitting on Earth 35 plus million miles away from this place tonight, we don't have ground truth, we don't have spectroscopic data, we don't have samples, we don't have composition, we have nothing but pictures, and all we have is on pictures geometry, so we can't really say what right. This stuff is. All we can say is what we think it looks like if you found it here on Earth.
Right, well, our interpretation of what something like that would be had we seen it
and
here,
some
yes.
Things you can dope out maybe what they might be used for because form follows function. Like spinning things are turbines or rotating or moving fluids or a pump or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like well, you see it's got the little hole thing, like sort
yeah.
Of like a nozzle on
it
the side.
It looks like
it's
got a nozzle. It looks round and it's got a flange on top. It looks like it's a turbine, a spinning turbine that you're seeing at an angle propped up against a rock that came from someplace around here.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the fun. That's the fun and the joy of anomaly hunting like that is finding stuff like this and speculating what's on it. But that doesn't give someone the right to take those musings, those speculations, and to make a painted up video of it and monetize it. You know, that in order, you know, and I don't know I don't know if it's greed or if it's a misinformation program. But I'm telling you,
I would say it's both. Look, the only way you get a decent misinformation program is to buy it. Who do you buy it from? People greedy enough without scruples to do it. So you got to get your marks. They've got to put the stuff out there. They've got to get the rubes in the tent. They've got to basically convince them that they're seeing the cat's meow. And then, of course, the big surprise is, oh, it's fake. Therefore, these people go away. Keith, the worst part, gentlemen, is that everybody who's burned by figuring out what they thought was really cool is not. They go away not knowing there's really cool stuff that they've not been allowed to see because they've been faked out.
Yes, once they've been fooled like that, then normally they get a dim view of the whole study.
Yep, and that's the political objective.
And that's exactly the objective. But what you see with these videos like this, and especially with this guy Scott wearing this paranormal crucible, as soon as they post this stuff to their sites, it's on four or five different media news sites, all with the same thing. None of them investigating any further than to say, oh, it's pareidolia, you're seeing things. You know, look at these nuts.
That almost sounds like it's a system in place to amplify the noise.
It is within hours, usually the same day something is discovered. It's got a story. It's almost like, you know how they pre-make the stories, you know, like for someone's obituary, think someone's mm-hmm, going to die mm-hmm. or something. It's almost like they've got this stuff ready already, and as soon as it hits, pow, the story's out there. And it's easy to check this because when you Google these titles and you Google the stories that they're on, they've got dates when they've come out. They've got dates on them. Right. It shows you plain and simple on Google.
Right.
Look at this and we see that this is a prime anomaly.
Oh, it's a prime anomaly which was destroyed for most people by these guys deliberately painting it over and faking it, when in fact it's a real amazing mechanical thing on a place where it doesn't belong, the planet Mars. Okay, let's go to number two.
Okay. Yep. So we took that one back, plain and simple. Okay. On yep. the net, if you look down at the bottom of the page, if you care to go back later on and you can look, you can check these references on here because I've included the links that the media that carried these, and it's Express.com UK. But you'll be surprised. This is going to be on Time and several others later on. But if you click on the link there, it says "Not a hoax: Mars rover photographs Mayan Aztec style head."
Okay. Let's tell everybody where we are. We've gone to radio with pictures. We've gone down to link number three, right?
Yes. Yes.
Clicked on that, and that takes you to Keith's page. A whole lot of faking going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we scroll down. At the very bottom, there's a list of links. We looked at number one, the alien drone. Turns out it's not an alien drone. It's an alien something, but it's not what they say. Number two, not a hoax. So we click on number two. Oh, my God. Here's my camera. No, this is a damn camera. This is a Brownie Instamatic that some astronaut left on Mars. It's a mechanical. Anyway, go ahead, Keith.
Well, what it is, it's a very curious. It could be rock, could be artifact. There's no telling what it is because, like you said, we don't have ground truth. All we have is pictures. Okay, but what they've done with this is take this picture of this little small item and they have processed it and enhanced it and used the JPEG artifact image until this thing looks like a mask. It's got teeth in it. Looks like it's got eyes. Yeah. It's got nostrils. It's got all this. But I'm going to tell you, in the fact of the matter, it has none of this.
It's like something you'd see out of Zombie Nation, but it's all fake.
Right, and I mean, this hit with a storm.
I remember.
Yeah, oh my gosh, look at this Maya head. And I'm like, wait a second. First off, what's it doing Maya? And why is it sticking out of Mars if it's, you know, it's a mask? So let's look closer. To me, it looked like SpongeBob, and you see, I've included them.
See SpongeBob, yeah.
Well, this is a prime example to never use web JPEGs when enhancing. Okay.
Right.
The person that originally came out with this is somebody called Jim Stone Freelance, but it was immediately taken by Waring and Paranormal Crucible and made into a video and immediately had about five, six media stories about it.
Huh.
I mean, the same form, the same, they're going like a set pattern. And I didn't see this at first. After I started looking at four or five videos, I started putting that together because I got to see the same media outlets covering the same sort of thing by the same people all the time.
Well, this does two things. It basically drives everybody to look at fake stuff. And then when they find out it's fake, they go away mad. Mm-hmm. And it also takes up valuable airtime, for the real stuff, because our stuff is not going viral, because the fix is in for the fake stuff to go viral. Oh, what a surprise.
Well, sure, what's neater to look at? I mean, look at the headline. It's not a hoax. Mars rover photographs, Mayan Aztec-style head. I mean, that's a sensationalist. That's yellow dog journalism. Okay, but if you look, what I've done instead
of the best Rupert Murdoch kind, yes.
Once I got in looking at it, I saw that, yeah, there's two pictures of this, and yes, yep. We have the great raw science data. And so I pulled them up, and I put two. Do you see the picture right below SpongeBob?
Yep.
It's both of those pictures put together, and the inset are the individual copies of this from each picture.
Okay, so let me get you straight. They took two separate pictures as part of a mosaic. You and the pictures where this object is, this artifact, they overlap, so you were able to take the left-hand part of one picture and the right-hand part of the other picture, carefully superimpose them, because the rover took the picture while it was standing still, and then you were able to increase the signal-to-noise ratio, because when you add pictures digitally, you drive down the noise and you get more real data, and then you put two inserts from each of the separate pictures at the upper right and the lower left, showing what they look like on the two separate versions of the same object.
Correct. And also, we had an added bonus in this image is we have a rover track.
Oh, yeah, for scale.
Okay. There you go. And so we see right now, we know that the rover track on the, you know, that looks like semi-hard pack right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not going to leave a full-width track because I think the full width is like 22 inches. But you're going to see 18 inches worth of track. And that's what we're seeing there. And that gives you a good scale because that thing's probably about 6 foot away from that track.
Mm-hmm.
So what we end up with is it's actually a, you know, it's whatever it is. The object is like 6 inches by 8 inches.
Yeah, about the size of a nice little camera.
And yeah, and if you scroll down a little bit, you'll see some five times enlargements that I've done of it. And it, you know, this is the raw data. It doesn't fall apart when you do that. So it allows you to get close and really see. You know, if you notice, look at those big enlargements. There's no JPEG artifacts in those.
Nope.
And they're that's 5 times enlarged.
But it does look mechanical. I mean, you can maybe squint your eye and say, okay, that one thing is an eye. But if you think of it more as maybe a sprocket or a handle or some mechanical gadget, other mechanical stuff on the other side, on the left-hand side, makes more sense that way.
Yeah, it's an artifact. Okay, it's an artifact of some kind. You know, it could just be a rock, but it's interesting looking. It doesn't look like the rocks that are around it, and that little socket thing is unique. Okay, so what they've done again is they've trashed a good anomaly by painting it up, and it's obvious that they've painted it up because you can look at the pictures that they're showing. It has teeth in it. There's no teeth in this thing.
No,
it's not there.
No, not at all.
Is that, Will?
I tried to get those teeth to come out for hours one night when this came out. I tried to reproduce it, and the only way I could have done it, I used every tool in Photoshop, and the only way I could have done it was to make it. And even with the JPEG artifacts, I couldn't do it. Mm. I pulled them out as hard as I yanked the JPEG artifacts out of it.
No, they just faked it. They totally, totally, totally faked it. They are faking it to gentlemen drive people into the same kind of ambiguity that we've had to live in for decades, which is it real or is it Memorex? Mm-hmm. And now that so much real stuff is being put out there, this is their desperation. We're winning. This is a sign that we're winning.
Yeah, well, when they got to resort to faking and cheating to win, yes, we've definitely won.
So it's 10 minutes of the hour. Let's move along here because we don't have a lot of time.
Okay, now that we've been looking, these last couple are examples of paranormal crucible and absolutely faking stuff for profit. The next one we're going to is at the bottom of the page. It says Mars underground bases, NASA covering up existence of openings on the red planet surface.
Okay, that's link number 3 at the bottom of your page.
Yes.
Linked off Radio with Pictures. Okay. Mm-hmm. Clinking. Of course I'm clinking. Clinking and clicking on Mars underground bases. There we go. Oh, look at that wonderful fake.
on this one, this is not particularly a willful fake. This is a case of someone looking at something and thinking they see something.
Was this off Google Mars?
Yes, that's a picture off of the global map mosaic.
Never, ever, ever take data people from those two sources, Google Mars or Google Earth. You know why? Because it's hopelessly JPEG to match and mix with all the other images from other sources they put in to give you this global database. You can't trust anything. What you do is you find an interesting object, right, Keith? Then you go and look for the original film, the original photograph, the original image by basically the only way you can do that is in terms of latitude and longitude. Where is this thing on Mars? Where is it on Earth? What are the closest images in the database that give you objects taken at that latitude, longitude? So yeah, if you want to do this quick and easy, it ain't gonna work. If you want to put some time and effort into it, it can be stunningly rewarding, right, guys?
Yes. Go ahead, Will. Sorry about that.
Let me address that, because this is something with Google Mars. They've made it now within the last 2 years that there's one button on the side that you can click. It'll show every single mission and the actual layout of it, and it links to the site that gives you the raw data. So they've made it so easy to find it.
Oh, that's wonderful. You mean they've done it the right way?
Yes, yeah, so you don't have to use the latitude longitude anymore. It's just one click on the right, on the left side under the settings that you can find out. I just want to let people know that, because it's really helped me if I find something or to debunk stuff like this.
Yeah. Well, Google Mars is a great tool. I mean, it absolutely opens up exploration to a whole new level.
Remember, though, there was that weird artifact near the South Pole that was totally fake.
Sure, but
years ago.
You have to look past that and use it for what it's for. It's a scouting tool, because everything. I mean, to disprove this particular underground opening, the tool was to do that was on the same sidebar that this image is on, and you just click on another map that shows higher resolution imagery, mm-hmm. and it'll show you. And that's exactly what I've done. And I've tried to. What gets me about this is you see from the top two images how many hits those have garnered. Well, see, someone who finds something innocently or ignorantly like this and posts it and then makes a little wad of cash doing that, mm-hmm. that's their impetus to do it again and again and again, yep. and find more stuff. And it's already obvious they don't know what they're doing, because that is simply a stitching artifact where they put the mosaic color images for the map together. That's simply all it is. It's a registration mark.
There was on Google Earth, there was a weird thing in Greenland, I think, that was very similar, and people thought it was some ancient vast starship which had landed, had been crushed by the ice, and was now melting out because of global warming. I kid you not.
Well, if you go down to the second image on that page, you'll see it's where I did just that. I took Google Mars.
Okay.
I found the exact location of this opening, the main one, and I pinned it. And then I reached down and I flipped the layers over to show the CTX layer, which is like 6 meter res.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the exact same location. So the top image is the one with the opening on it. The bottom of it is the exact same area with high resolution. And there is nothing of the sort there.
No, no. Well, remember years ago when the Nimbus satellites were taking polar views for weather of the Earth? And there was a whole cadre of people who basically grew up thinking that there were dark holes at the top and the bottom of the world where you entered inside the Earth, because
yes.
the satellite images didn't cover the pole. And I kept trying to explain to people, no, that's night, and no, it's because the orbit is not 90 degrees. It's close to 90, but not 90, and they shoot sideways, and they overlap them, and you get that artifact, and it's all in the camera. Oh, no, there's a hole in the North Pole and a hole in the South Pole, and that's where you get in. You can't disabuse some people of fake stuff once they get the wrong impression, and these sites are designed to give people the wrong impression and then get them to go away when they find out they've been had.
Well, I'd say it certainly works for me.
You mean as a political disinformation tool?
Yeah, well, it drives me away from looking for stuff on YouTube, because videos are very susceptible to this, because you've got to be patient to see this story being revealed to you in the video, which takes time compared to, say, just a normal web page where the images are straight in front of your face. So it just makes things more frustrating, trying to track down what might be real. As Keith says, there is some unhealthy symbiosis going on between, say, Paranormal Crucible and some of these newspapers. They're providing them with easy to do stuff.
Yeah, it's called clickbait. In the world of the internet, it's called clickbait. And X number of clicks, you get X number of dollars. And you're right. It's a very evil conspiracy, because oiling the wheels with money is at all levels what's going on, and nobody knows they're serving a more or, you know, sinister purpose, which is to confuse people, so the real stuff never makes the front pages.
And the funny thing about these very same newspapers, you know, the Daily Mail or the, you know, the Daily Express, is they will put in, they will take verbatim serious science stories, and sort of equal weight, if you know what I mean, from say things like the Kepler star, for instance, which will be very serious and properly scientific because they're just taking them off press releases, I suppose.
Right.
And then you've got this surreal thing of things like, I don't know, the crab hiding in the shadows from Curiosity Rover, I think.
Yeah, we'll get back to that when we come back.
Yeah, I won't go into that. But okay. As I say, it is frustrating.
But the good news is, if there wasn't an audience interested in what's out there, we wouldn't have this problem. So the game politically, gentlemen, is how do we get on top of the problem, and how do we give people real stuff as opposed to fake stuff, so that the interesting majesty of what we've actually found, the remains of a stunning ancient solar system-wide civilization, with artifacts now being leaked from every orifice, as Trump would say, at NASA, at ESA, at the Russians, the Japanese, the Indians, the Chinese, everybody is showing us the real solar system. And the problem is, on the web, the fakes are taking the game because people don't dig deeper. So our job is to get them to dig deeper, like on this show, The Other Side of Midnight. Anyway, welcome back to our guest this morning, when we return. Back on The Other Side of Midnight. You know, Robert, you said you were frustrated by having to wade through all the noise. And again, the thing I want to emphasize is if we didn't have the noise, we wouldn't know that we're winning. Because all the noise is there because we are winning. They're trying to distract people more and more. And for some reason, the steady stream of real data is coming out from the inside. Anybody want to tackle why we're getting stunning new real data now at an increasing rate?
It goes back to, I was told many years ago by someone at NASA Ames that we're going to be flooded because that was the plan. I think you have different branches within NASA, and some of them are the roosters and some of them are the owls. And the way the roosters would win is to flood everything with the data. You put so much data out there that they cannot alter it all. They cannot alter half of it. They can't even alter a 16th of it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with you look at the high rise, man, we're getting floods of these great big huge images. It takes me 2 weeks to look through one totally. You're not going to have a crew of people going through and airbrushing things out in that much data. There's not enough manpower.
Okay, so let's go back to your page. A whole lot of faking going on, with due honors to you know who. And let's look at number 4, Mars Dome Entrance. Come on, Keith, this has got to be real. Come on, this is real, right?
I hope it is, but you know, the thing about this is, though, this is the one that got me started on this because this is one of my favorite Curiosity images. The scenery in it is just.
Oh my God! No, 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 no! I've seen the original on this.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see,
except no, no, it's not this. I'm looking now at your second image. They've taken it from a real surveyor image, and they put it on the Curiosity imagery. This is fake.
Well, we see what they've done is over-enhanced a web JPEG again. And I don't know this Art Alien TV guy. I'm not sure if he's genuine or not, but I tried to approach him with this and show him that, you know, that this is what we're actually seeing here based on this raw data imagery.
Right.
And he kind of just shut me off. No, he didn't want to hear it. You know, I'm a disinformation artist, I guess. I don't know. But
you are. Keith Laney, you're the disinformation guy.
Well, what I am is an investigator. And I've been doing this for long enough to know the ins and outs and what
See,
you
this,
do.
This is really important because there's a lot of people out there, so-called skeptics, who think that we're making a fortune, that we're making the $200,000 here and the $400,000 there. And believe me, folks, no, we're not. So the folks that are driving the train, they're driving the politics, they're driving the disinformation, and then they turn around and they tell honest people to try to correct them, like Keith, oh, you're the agent.
Well, yeah, that's a shame of it. Do you have something to say, Will?
I think that happens a lot as people are learning and starting to grow their channel. I know Joe, who runs that channel, he's on our conference calls every time. He's a very genuine guy when you talk to him. I think he's learning as we come. And I've had that same thing when I ask people about stuff, they'll kind of throw, like, am I a disinformation agent? Or if I suggest something in my videos, I'll get a lot of those comments. I think there's so much in the, like we said, the water's so muddy now that we don't know what's real and what's not. That's why relying on that raw data is crucial to what we need to go moving forward. Everybody making the videos who's genuine needs to make sure they know how to use the PDS system. And a lot of times you don't get – PDS system is lagging behind on the new – so we've got these new images that we're dying to see up close. But I think things like this happen. I don't think that he deliberately faked this one, but that's just – I might be biased. But,
Well, he didn't really get much coverage on this, and that just shows, you know. I mean, it wasn't blasted about through the media or anything, and so I'm not faulting him in saying he deliberately faked. But this is one of the examples of some, you know, of someone good trying to follow the example of these other guys.
Keith, of what I've said many times: amateurs can get you killed.
Well, if you take the raw data image is the one that's underneath the YouTube capture,
right.
And if you click on that, it opens up to a full size image of that scene. Well, it's actually a little bit larger than full size because I enlarged it like 150%, just so it's
you okay. Know, you're going a little fast. Let's not lose everybody. At the very top of the page, you got a YouTube thing, right?
Mm-hmm. So it's the second image on the page.
We scroll down to the second image. You click on that. And that takes us to the original data, mm-hmm. Right?
Yes, it takes it. And I've simply enlarged just a little bit to make things a little bit larger for us. And we see it's a scene. It's a little valley way back there. Okay, and it looks like a straight line all the way across. And they're saying that there's a bunch of buildings that are there. I looked at it, and I hate to say it because I'm an anomalist, and I love to find curious things. But that's just a landslide over stratigraphy.
That's what it looks like to me.
That it's exactly what it is, and that's what it looked like from there. Even it's at an angle from us too. But we'll see this a little bit later on. If you just click off that image and go back to the page,
okay. Back to your page.
Back to the Mars dome.
Not a dome entrance. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, if you scroll down below that the full scale image, you'll see where I've zoomed in on it and brought it in closer for us to see. And if you click on that image, it brings up like a 5x enlargement of it.
Okay.
And you can see that it brings it up right in your face, and you can actually see there's stratigraphy. There's no buildings there.
No, it's huge dust avalanches of dark material that have flowed under Martian gravity in very long, straight rivulets down and across this slope. And there must be a lot of material because there doesn't seem to be almost any inflection with the slope, so there's a very large amount of material cascading down. You can actually trace it further up the slope.
Well, one thing that makes it look mysterious, because when I first looked at this image, I thought the same thing. I went, oh my, how mysterious. Look at that back there. Are those buildings? I did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I did further investigation. I'm not happy with the web JPEGs. And I think what this fellow did is he took that web JPEG and sharpened it and blurred it and sharpened it and blurred it. But I know proper enhancement techniques. If you destroy the foreground, you destroyed the background also.
Yep.
Yep. And and if you see in the images that they've enhanced, they've destroyed the foreground. Mm-hmm. So the background couldn't be accurate. It's JPEG artifacts polished into structure.
Imaging 101.
Correct.
Sorry to cut in. What kind of software would you recommend to the listenership sort of as a baseline beginning, not getting too expensive, to start pursuing this?
Some of the cheaper programs, the cheaper program, but cheaper, heck, how much cheaper can you get them free? is GIMP. GIMP is a great one, and they have a PDS image plugin that will open PDS raw files.
Now, by the way, you guys keep saying PDS. You've got to describe what the PDS...
Planetary Data System. It's where all the data from all the craft go to stay.
Which
it's
is run by NASA.
It's
the official government source, not only for NASA imagery, but the PDS system, the Planetary Data System, also has Russian data, Chinese data, Indian data, Japanese data. We're talking imaging data now. You may have to really kind of go searching, but if you're clever enough, you'll find the files, and it's really interesting, particularly the Russian stuff. The early Russian stuff is very intriguing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, some of the other, I mean, I don't particularly use Photoshop. I'm a PSP man for my polishing, but for actually getting the data.
You're a what?
PSP, PaintShop Pro.
PaintShop Pro. Okay.
Yeah, it's version 18 now, and I've been using it since it was version 4. So, I know it too well to change to something else.
Yeah, I usually work with both of them back and forth depending upon – because some programs bring out some details better in terms of their filters than other programs. And, again, part of this is like an art. It's not just by the numbers. It's not just the science. The more you do, the better you get, the more you can see, the more you can – say, oh, no, I've over-sharpened, I've overdone this, I've overdone that. In other words, it's like with anything else, you become a pro, you get good at it, and you know when you're doing good work, and you know when you're doing crap.
Well, ImageJ is another one that I use, and it also has a PDS plugin, and it's free. It's actually a scientific imaging program. ImageJ is, and it also has. You talk about filters. It has free deconvolution filters in it. It's got FFT filters in it, Fourier fast transformer. It's really a nice piece of software, but it will take some familiarization and learning to use it.
Gentlemen, you and Will, do you have places on your websites where people get a tutorial when they want to get into this, how to get started, who to ask, what programs to buy, what sources to look for? In other words, basically a imaging 101.
I do on my forum, on my website.
Okay, tell people how to get to it.
My website is hiddenmission.com, and if you get on the main page, you'll see a link down in the image bars that says the Hidden Mission Forum. And you click on that and go to my forum and join, and because it's members only, even though anyone can read it. But I have a section at the bottom of the topics that is my attempt at teaching people how to do this.
Okay. Will?
I was going to say the exact same thing. Our forum, this comes up all the time in the forum. Go to whatsupinthesky.com. Basically, hit the forum at the top of the page, and you have to join the website, which takes 2 seconds, so you can join with Facebook to actually post in it. But there's a forum in there for general questions and things, and already if you just do some searches, there's some great articles about it. We have a lot of good people. Todd out there is always answering those questions for people. So there's also a couple guys over there, and at Keith's forum too, you're going to get some good answers. So that's a good start for us. But yeah, on our websites, I think the forums where you get that one-on-one with other people as well too, put their 2 cents in.
Never turned anybody away that honestly wanted to learn something.
Cool.
Never.
Cool.
And you guys, if you guys were speaking too fast for some people out there in terms of some of the software you were talking about, and excuse me for interrupting, if you get the 19.5 membership, you can always listen to this program again.
Thank you, Andrew. What an interesting, novel idea. Okay. By the way, we got people circling, want to join the conversation. We need to move along because it's already 12 minutes after the hour, and we haven't gotten to Keith, to Andrew's stuff, which is really amazing. So, Keith, let's kind of whip through the rest of this because I think we've now set the model and the precedent that there are honest folks who take real data and don't know what to do with it, and they come up with fake stuff. There's slick con artists who take real data and deliberately fake it up so that we don't know what's up there. And we're not dumping on the first group because they can be taught. They're just ignorant. The second group of the group we're focusing on because they're part of an agenda to keep the rest of us from knowing what the hell is really out there, and the real stuff is amazing.
Yes, the real stuff is amazing. But all right, if you want to get back on this, if you look, I just disproved this guy's anomaly, man. I don't want to do that and make him feel bad about it. Instead, I want to just show him the truth of the matter. And if you scroll down below this enlargement page, you'll see a black and white with some arrows on it, and it shows
curiosity. We're still on the not a dome entrance.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, and you'll see what the field of view, and you'll see the stratigraphy that it's covering, because that's a high-rise image.
Okay, and high-rise is a spacecraft camera taken on the spacecraft Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, looking straight down, so it gives you aerial context. So you basically have put the Curiosity image in the context image taken from orbit, and when you look down, lo and behold, in the last major image at the bottom of your page, you've got these fan-shaped avalanches flowing down across strata, rock strata. No cities, no buildings, no pipelines, no nothing. But you got to do the science properly to reach the right, correct answer.
Right. We want to find stuff down there, but it has to be honest. And real anomalies are the needle in the haystack.
Well, except they're not hidden like needles anymore. I mean, there's so many of them. Almost every set of images now has something. But again, Keith, would you agree that a lot of people are fooled because they don't know what ancient, eroded, bashed-up stuff looks like?
Yeah, that's very true. You know, if you have no context with which to place the imagery, then you're just looking at shapes and patterns on the ground. You don't know what they are.
Nope. Okay, let's move along here because I want to get to Andrew's stuff.
Okay, yeah, the next one is, it really got me. If you're at the page bottom, you'll see NASA discovers Buddha on Mars.
Okay, so we're still on the whole lot of faking going on page from you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is link number five. NASA discovers a Buddha. Oh, that must be heavy.
Well, if you, even you click on that page and you open it up, you see.
Oh, my God, look at this. Oh, my. Come on. Come on.
That's why, hence the header image of the clown presenting the Buddha sitting there on Mars.
Very funny.
The jester, yeah. Because that's the way I look at this. These are jesters, man. They're jingling their bell and telling their joke for everybody and making money off everybody while fooling everybody.
So if you scroll down to image number three, that's the actual Curiosity image, and the arrow shows where this little thing is, and then you go scroll back up to the YouTube version. They produced that fake from that few pixels?
Right. It's 30 by 30 pixels. It's a very tiny little area way, way from the rover up on top of that hill. And this is one that Will originally noticed because it does look strange. It's a strange little shape. And it can be construed as looks like something sitting on top of that hill.
Mm-hmm.
But Will discovered that and was in his discussion talking about, oh, hey, look at this, these shapes on this hill. Isn't it neat? And these guys ran with it and painted it up. And next thing, it's Buddha on Mars.
Will, have you learned your lesson?
Well,
in other words, do not cry alien image in a crowded theater.
I don't fault Will because I watch his videos too, and he's just going over the image and going, oh, this is strange, this is strange, this is strange. That doesn't give someone the right to take that.
Well, no, it's not a right, but I'm talking about just ordinary psychology. In other words, when you're dealing with a whole field of crackpots, you don't want to, you know, walk among them with a hammer.
Well, fair to say that this one was a pure sitting duck. Anyone, and you know what? Here's what gets me is the anomalous.
Oh, so it's not a Buddha, now it's a duck.
Yeah, well.
Just kidding.
Anomalous should have caught.
Okay, if you continue to scroll down, we're racing the clock here, guys. Scroll down, you'll see various enlargements you've done. You've seen there's 30 pixels to play with. You can't tell anything with 30 pixels.
Right.
Certainly not the image. Oh, look at what they've done compared. Keep scrolling. To your comparison, side by side, total fake out.
Well, the most amazing and strange thing about this is look at the references of all the covered ABC, Discovery, HuffPost, Newsweek, Washington Post. Look at who covered this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you tell me, and if you look, the dates all matched up. As soon as this busted out on Waring and Paranormal Crucible sites, it was in these sites. It was on these major news networks, along with the boilerplate pareidolia. No one even said, hey, this is fake. No one even said this is fake. They went, oh, you guys are seeing things.
Amazing.
Which really, that bugs me so bad. All right, well, here's the last one on this study and the finale. is alien crab found on Mars.
Oh, the crab. Yes. Uh-huh. Oh, what a gorgeous example of what?
This is an example. It's a gorgeous example of greed, misinformation, and misdirection away from even greater anomalies that are right in this image that no one even paid attention to because they were all busy looking at this stupid painted-in crab.
So it's like the old magician. Wave the left hand, and people won't look at the right hand.
All right. And you see the little graphic there shows, once again, SpongeBob, because to me this is so ridiculous. And look, you got Mr. Krabs trying to run in this hole with a bag full of cash with a reporter with his microphone to his mouth. This is what I see. This is an allegory. This is allegorical of exactly what's happening here in this scene.
Okay, so take us through this, because this is a very interesting artifact they deliberately mucked up because it was too good to be real.
This is another one. Like, Will's looking at this image, making video, and, oh, look at this strange thing. And next thing you know, Paranormal Chris Will, Scott Waring and them have this painted all up, and it's on every news site available, showing the crab.
In the top, the one thing in the video I did that I thought was amazing was that it looks like the remnants of the hill at the top, of an actual building at the top. You can see the blocks. You can see it all.
There is a masonry. There's a collapsed masonry wall on top of that hill. It's obvious as a nose on your face.
When I looked at it, I said, wait a minute. They missed all the gorgeous stuff around it.
Right.
But it's deliberate. Gentlemen, it's deliberate. Obviously, it's misdirection. It's left-hand, right-hand stuff because we're getting close. Does this give us – everyone now, think about this. Does this give us real pause that because there are so many more of these sites desperately trying to get customers and yanking them for all the money they can get – we're getting close to some kind of official announcement, and the hope is by so many people being burned, nobody will pay attention.
Mm-hmm. They're going to have a revolution that nobody comes to.
At least that's what they think.
Well, they're a little bit late. But you see, if you scroll down a little bit, you see the image that they faked, and it looks like a crab, man. It's got little pinchers on it and antennas and legs going every which way, and it looks like it's trying to scurry up into that little hole.
Right.
Okay, well, I got the raw data image, and you can see, if you look at the image, it's got a little red arrow on it that's actually pointing to the item. This thing is probably no larger than a squirrel. Okay, but it's really curious in itself. The crab thing is curious. If you scroll down just a little bit further, mm-hmm. you'll see I did a 400% enlargement of it with the raw science data. And this one is uncompressed. This is an 8-bit uncompressed image. So this is some of the best data that Curiosity sends. And you see I have no JPEG images in that enlargement. No JPEG artifacts at all.
Now, it is in deep shadow, so you had to obviously lighten the shadow.
Actually, I didn't. I did. I don't even think I adjusted the contrast on that. That's the straight raw data image. All I did was enlarge it.
Hmm.
I did it like Will can attest. I know we all got this raw image when we first saw this and tried to bring the crab out in it. None of us could. The reason why we couldn't is because it was painted. If you scroll down a little bit further, you see I've got a panel with three images.
Yeah, I see them.
Okay, the first one is the website image that is zoomed. It's just zoomed to 550%. You can see there's JPEG artifacts. If you click on it, it opens up a much larger image.
Right.
But you'll see that in the website image zoomed 550%, there's artifacts in it. It's pixelated. It's blocked. They took that image. They polished it. They sharpened, blur, edge detect, blur again, sharpen again, contrast adjust, boosted the levels because this is what I did to replicate it. The one on the far right is my own faked copy version. I figured, well, hey, let me see if I can copy this thing. And so I took my lighting brush and I went down the legs and painted a couple in and, adjusted the contrast and all that. And I did that using the website JPEG with all the artifacts in it. So you can see they faked it. It doesn't look like that on the raw JPEG artifact image, and it doesn't look like that on the raw science image. It's a fake for sure. And they've sold it. This little image opened up 1,000 YouTube videos, all of them faked.
I'd run this as I thought it looks – the color of it reminded me of some desert vegetation starving for water. And if you look at the whole picture itself, it seems to have those water flows that we were looking at from the previous show we had done where we were looking at some things. I think we're looking at an area that definitely has a lot of – this is a wonderful image here. And I'm glad it went viral, but how it went viral really did destroy. Look at everything. If you look at the overall image, there's so much in here. Except my video must have been 40, 50 minutes long. I don't do the two-minute video. If you come to my website, you don't find two-minute little videos. So, but
yeah,
I mean, we look at it.
Absolutely. Okay. All in front. If you scroll on down the page to the last image on the study, it's a picture of the wall on top of that. You can see the layers of the layered rock that it's sitting on. And you see this wall, it looks like it's toppled over, and you still see masonry there.
Mm-hmm.
This is big stones separated by a layer of smaller stones.
Yep.
And it runs all the way down there.
And they all seem to be just about the same size, the smaller ones, and they're all tilted
right.
at the same angle, and that looks like a built wall.
It's quite possible that this is layered stratigraphy, but the thing about it is, in my experience, I lived in Europe. I've walked in Roman ruins, and I've walked in castle ruins, and I've seen, firsthand what ruins look like. And that looks like a masonry wall toppled over sitting there.
It sure does.
I mean, it looks like, and that's what we have to go on, but that is real convincing. But, that's one reason why they would disqualify this picture by going, hey, look at this crab down here in this corner. Pay no attention to the wall on top of this hill.
Okay, I think we've pretty much beaten the dead horse of fakes and the people who are doing fakes out there. Why don't we move on to Andrew and everybody now to talk about the real stuff, how we figure out the real details and figure out the story and figure out the trail of artifacts and figure out ultimately how it all got to be what we're seeing. Andrew?
Okay, so if we go back to Other Side of Midnight, click back there, and we go up to radio with pictures.
Okay.
And we scroll down to... Now, I did a couple... I shadowed Keith on his presentation, so we'll go to number 5.
Okay, clicking on 5.
Yeah. And I just labeled this drawing out the details. So it's that object again, that pump or
that number 9. That's how I presented it to Art. It was number 9 on that show that night.
Yeah, it's amazing. What I wanted to do here was just quickly show how I would deal or how I deal with an object like this. I mean, I don't think it really needed me to – you guys needed me to draw this at all. But it just was a nice little study, like a nice little sketch to show a side-by-side of what the raw NASA data is, and then how I kind of bring out some of the detail that I'm seeing, and so that's sort of a simple, straightforward tutorial right there of how I do
okay.
it. Yeah, and then,
you captured that very well, Andrew, by the way.
Oh, thanks, man.
You got the essence of it. And that's the point of it, though. And, I love art as comparison to the photography because it shows what a keen eye can see. But there's a whole lot of difference between art to display what you're seeing, through your eyes, and art as designed to fake something or try to show something is something that it's not.
Exactly.
Yep.
Okay, moving on. We don't have a lot of time here.
Yep. Okay, so we'll go back to radio with pictures, and we'll click on number 6 really quick.
This is one of my favorites.
Yeah. So I read when I was reading Keith's outline on this, and he talked about in the end that it could be – something, or it could just be a curious rock. And I just thought that was a neat thing because when I'm sort of looking at these anomalous, what I've been looking at mostly for the show is structures and a lot of the detail and geometry that we see in there.
Right.
But on a little piece like this, I was desperately trying to find these teeth that
the mythical teeth, yes.
And they're not there.
They're not there.
And this is, I don't know what it is. It's curious.
I think it's a camera. I think that the round thing on the right is a sprocket hole for the thing that used to wind the film, and the stuff on the left is the mangled lenses and the lens housing. It looks like a good old brownie that I used to have when I was a kid.
Yeah. Well,
and there's a picture of me holding it. No, not this.
The other reason why I brought this was because I was trying to find something in it, and I couldn't. So I represented the way it seems, again, from the data that we see, bringing out maybe a little more shadowing, a little more contrast. But the size of it, like the second image on this page, is, it's 8 inches wide. So if you look at the bottom image, I just did a Other Side of Midnight astronaut with 19.5. And that's about the size of this thing. And I wanted to point something out that I did see a researcher recently the recent secret space program forum where they had all those researchers there, and somebody did use the Aztec head on Mars with the teeth. And his presentation was excellent. He's a very good researcher. But the moment he put this again, if we were to go back to the Aztec with teeth piece,
right,
instead of interpreting it this way, to me, his whole presentation can be attacked just simply because of not using, not finding the raw data and using something fake. So it is a dangerous thing when all this fake anomaly stuff is put out there. So anyways, that's why I wanted to sort of put this in here.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, well, let's save the good stuff for last. We're at the bottom of the hour. Bobby Bright in the background. Good old Bobby Bright. The Other Side of Midnight. My name is Richard C. Hoagland. My guests, Keith, Andrew, Will, and Bob. Bob's all the way over there in sunny England. We shall return right after this. And we are back on the Other Side of Midnight. We do have people calling in, kind of just keep orbiting there for a few more minutes. We're going to go to Andrew and his final example, which he's done a stunning job on, and then we're going to open the lines so you can ask questions or voice your own opinion of what it means when people are trying to deliberately hijack our entire history. Andrew, please continue.
Okay, so we're back on Other Side of Midnight, back to Radio with Pictures, and we want to go to the final link, which is link number 7.
Number tetrahedral 7. Come on. Okay.
Yeah. And what we're looking at here, and I have to apologize to the listeners, I didn't give everybody a grand picture of this, what this comet looks like from sort of a profile view, but you can easily look it up. It's called Comet 67P, and I won't even try to do the Russian.
It's the two Russian co-investigators. Let me just tell people that the Rosetta spacecraft from the European Space Agency, since last August, has been orbiting 67P, this roughly 2-mile-wide thing that looks like a hammerhead shark or something. It's got two lobes. It's got a neck in the middle. It's got distinctive geometry. We've got images from several hundred miles out. We have images from as close as 10 or 12 miles. The images that we're showing tonight are going to be around 45 miles. And on the surface of this object, said to be a comet, there are all kinds of amazing geometric things. Andrew?
Yeah, so Richard, you sent this image the other day to all of us, and it kind of brought me right back to when Keith was showing us that, I forget what that website was, but it was I think it was a NASA site that allowed you to kind of really zoom in to this artifact. And the one feeling that I got when I sort of looked at this is it's intimidating. It's a monster. And in the image that you sent us, which is this, I jumped up in up on the upper left-hand limb, mm-hmm, up from this particular angle, and I zoomed right in, and then I sort of tilted it almost 90 degrees. So if you sort of follow that white line from
follow the yellow brick road, everybody.
Yeah. And then, so now you're looking at that limb kind of righted for our view.
Yeah, 40 degrees to the right. I know, because I work with these a lot. They got them in 40-degree increments. Isn't that weird? Or is it maybe 39?
There you go.
Well,
go ahead. It's 39, Richard. You're right.
I know. It's got to be.
Well, and I have to apologize to Keith.
And
to
people
Bob.
Are going to say, why is it 39? Twice 19.5, everybody. Continue, Andrew. Sorry.
Well, my little blow up here is nowhere near what Will or Bob or Keith do, so I apologize. But it gives us a sense of what's going on. And I did a side-by-side comparison. So the one that the little white arrow or white line is pointing to is the actual imagery, and then my drawing. Right. And I kind of just did a bunch of labelings. And one of the first things that stood out for me on this piece was number one. There's like two edges if you sort of look at them. And if you look at my drawing, they're literally right angle. They look to me almost cylindrical, like some sort of remnant of a it does not look like rock to me. It's so different than the other material that we're looking at.
Right.
And we go to number two, and what I see there is some sort of, it looks like a maybe a hexagon with a on an angle, like maybe on a 30-degree looking down angle, and there's like a circular opening. I see it, and I sort of brought it out in my drawing. Number three, if you look at number three, I call them eroding superstructures. There's three in a row, if you look really closely, and again, I'm hoping I brought some justice to it. And they're all over the place, but there's like three parallel lines just veering off on that angle. They look like some sort of support structure to me, but they're incredibly eroded and just pitted. Number four, if you kind of creep along the edge of the limb, and there's a lot of other places on this comet that are just as amazing, but there's these little spires or spikes.
Look like minarets.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, they could be, again, a lot of the stuff we're seeing on Pluto, support structures, just the remnants, but they certainly don't look like rocks to me.
Rock hardly ever forms geometric jackstraw type structures.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things that really hit me when I was drawing this, and this is what I was so fascinated by, is as I know when you kind of look at the big view, you go, oh, just a big lumpy rock. But the closer you look, you start to see, again, rectilinear lines, you see right angles. And one of the ones that struck me a lot was this seven, where you see literally a mere bracket. And if you look at my drawing,
I really see it on the drawing now. And see, the drawings are important because – you know, when you have someone with an expert eye doing a side-by-side comparison, you look back at the raw data. That's what you have to always return to. But the picture, the art, gives you examples of things that other eyes see that your eye may not see right away. But if you let it kind of linger and you get used to it, you will see in the raw data the same kind of things that Andrew is seeing in the sketch.
Yeah, and the more you... You know, Keith made a really neat comment to me one time when we first started to work together with some of the stuff on Mars. He said, go and have a walk around. And it reminded me of sort of the Australian Aborigine
walkabout. Yes.
And if you just do that, so again, for people out there, you know, you have to get off your keypads and just spend some time with this imagery and almost meditate on it, because the more you do, the more pops out. And it's not imaginative. It's there. You see right angles. You see repeating patterns. And I tried to bring it out in this drawing in the few moments I had. But number five is another really curious one. It's way down in the corner. I don't know if you could see it so well on the raw data, but to me it looks like a six-sided geometric shape, almost like a hatch or something. It's just incredibly amazing.
Okay, we've got some folks that are really wanting to get in the conversation. Ryan, good morning. Where are you calling from?
Calling from Washington State.
Ah, chilly Washington. What's up this morning? What do you want to know?
Well, I've been battling these hoaxers myself for quite some time, and the only way I think that we're going to be able to have any success is to compete with them as far as traffic is concerned. I don't know if you guys are aware that last year YouTube created a legal fund for YouTube users to upload videos criticizing hoaxers. Because what was happening before was as soon as you upload a video criticizing their hoaxing, they would hit you with a copyright infringement and take your video down. But there's a website called UFO Theater, which was featured on there, and they've one of the worst hoaxers on YouTube is a website named Secure Teen 10.
Oh yeah, I've seen them.
Yes.
It's actually run by a kid. His name's Tyler. I won't say his last name. And they caught him on Facebook bragging about all the money he's making. Anyways, that's all I had to say is we're going to continue to lose this battle against the hoaxers unless we really compete with them as far as traffic, because, I mean, we really need to do something. I'm so sick and tired of it.
Okay, well, that's why we're all here tonight. We're looking at what we can do.
Ryan, contact me or Will, either one or both of us, after the show. You know, my email's keith@keithlaney.net, and Will, you can get Will's. I'm not sure what it is, but I'm sure it's Will at whatsupinthesky.com.
Yep. Okay. That's what I'm.
Was that it, Ryan?
Okay. I think he dropped off.
I think Ryan's gone. Okay. Gentlemen, this problem, you know, basically he says it's a traffic problem. Well, if they've got the Daily Mail in their pocket, and they've got the Washington Post, and they've got the big one in New York, whatever. Anyway, if they've got Murdoch and the other guys in their pocket, how can we compete?
I talked about this with Keith, and I think it's just keep. It's gone from where I've had to stop making videos of true anomalies to making debunking videos here and there. You know, I'm spending my time going right back and having to debunk these things. And even myself, like I said, I've had to rethink how I title things and just in general, I'm trying to grow as an actual, you know, in this and learning as I go as well, too. This was a hobby for me when I began. So I think, you know, moving forward, and the only way we're going to ever get that traffic is if people share the – I mean, they've got to share it.
One of the things that I've been looking at, and I was going to kind of throw this out there and have people kind of send me emails and reflect on it and respond, and I obviously want you guys to think about this. Ryan made a very good point that basically if we try to pick these guys off one by one, there's too many of them. They'll replace the old ones with new ones. If they've got unlimited deep pockets, it's basically you against the CIA and the NSA, and how can you fight that? So what we need is a game changer. What if, guys, we were to assemble our best examples of real stunning imagery all across the solar system from Mercury out to Pluto, and we've got the goods now, and we were to do an international Fathom event where we book a theater someplace and we all show up and we physically present our data on a big screen with a live audience and all that. We connect it by means of the Fathom organization, which is this theater chain that sets up these major events. Robin and I went to see one on the anniversary of Star Trek a couple years ago, I think. And we basically do a Fathom ET Artifacts event where we show people on a screen that's 30 feet high and 100 feet wide things that are absolutely not supposed to be out there, and we make it an event.
Wow, that's really wild, Richard, because today I was just saying to my wife, I had this very strange feeling I'm going to be traveling, and it's got to do with you guys. And I know anybody can say anything and claim anything, but that is the honest truth today. I had that.
Well, look, this is not the first time I've thought of this, but this now seemed to be the right time to bring it up in public because I want the audience to input. Would you come? Because we can't do it for free. We got to charge something because it costs you tens of thousands of dollars to do one of these events. I've actually scoped this out. But we might be able to get Kickstarter funds. We might be able to get some contributions. We might be able to call Donald up, and he'll throw something in the kitty. Did you see last night how he was reading all the contributors to his veterans thing? This guy gave $1 million, and this guy gave $1 million, and this family only gave $75,000, and he was, like, picking who to – it was really amusing. Anyway, this could be done, and it would create an event. It would create a news peg. It would – you know, particularly if we then talk to all our – you know, friends in the mainstream media, and we get them to cover this as an event, we maybe get – wouldn't it be really cool, Keith, if we could get Alan Stern to show up?
Sure it would.
And if we dangle this in front of them, maybe it's that great line from the movie. If we build it, they will come.
I'd be in.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, two. Do I hear three? Robert, either you come here or we have to go there.
I have to think about that.
You're retired. You're making a fortune. Come on. You can come. That would be really cool because Robert does these wonderful white papers where he exhaustively analyzes all different aspects, and we want that. I want to put that on the big screen so people don't just look at pretty pictures, but they know what it is they're looking at because, if again, amateurs in this field, more than almost any other, will get you killed or at the very least will get you drummed out of the court because you won't know what you're talking about if you listen to amateurs.
It may be a really good way, too, to get some of the guys that that I've been working with and Keith has been coming in and working with to send their best at the best that they have and to really focus, teach people to focus on the best as we're planning it out and getting it. And with all the credit and the good, you know, and due credit for everybody who puts up their work.
We could create it. We could have music. We could have just, you know, think of this as the Other Side of Midnight goes theater.
I'll bring the guitar and sing some for sure. I used to geek out almost, you know, weekly.
Okay.
So, all right. I'm in.
Michael has joined us. Michael, good morning. What would you like to ask? Michael? Hit the button. Michael? Hello? Oh, I think we lost him. Okay, so we'll add Torch.
Okay.
Torch, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I was curious. The imagery is phenomenal. Am I still here?
You're here.
Okay. Has anybody done anything with the audio that's coming off this thing?
The audio off 67P?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's funny you should bring that up. Andrew, are you aware of this?
No.
Somewhere in my files, and I won't be able to find it between now and the end of the show because I can't walk into Jum at the same time, and so we won't try that. But there is a piece of audio, and I played it for George on Coast. It was one of my last appearances on Coast, I think. They have recorded with one of the instruments, the science instruments, probably the plasma wave detector, on the Rosetta spacecraft. Particularly when it got within so many thousand miles, there was this most bizarre radio song that this comet is emitting, which has been recorded, and it's all over the world. I mean, if people want to Google, you know, just Google. Do you have a copy of it, Torch? You could send it over to M, and we could put it up on the website.
I just put it in the
In the Skype window.
Yes.
Okay. So, M, if you can send that over to Rich to post on the website, let me click on it and see if I can bring it up here. Okay. It won't let me do that. Hang on. Why won't it do that?
I used this in one of my videos and got a copyright violation from it. I had to take the music out of it.
Well, but it's public domain.
I couldn't understand it, and I didn't want to fight it. With YouTube, it's one of those things where I just took it down, and I think it's a lot of the intimidation when it comes to some of these things.
Okay, let me see if I can bring this up here, if we've got time. Yeah, we've got some time. I'm trying to get rid of... is the page frozen? No, don't do that. Yeah, of course, not responding. Recover web page. Okay. Recovering web page.
Richard, is this comet not also outgassing as well?
Oh, yeah. It's been outgassing for months and months and months. In fact, the reason that we've not had any really close images for a long time is because during the perihelion passage, when the comet was going around the sun at its closest approach, which was in August, I think August 15th, somewhere around there, they pulled Rosetta out to a couple hundred miles because of the pelting it was getting from small bits and pieces of stuff coming off the comet, as well as the gases, as well as, you know, there was turbulence. There was enough small material flying around that they couldn't actually keep the star trackers aligned. Okay, I've got this set up now. Let me see. Everybody is calling in, so you're putting all your little icons in front of what I'm trying to reach. Not good. Okay, here's what this comet sounds like, and listen carefully. This is not a natural sound.
Yeah, I don't think...
No, hang on. Hang on. This is weird. I'm getting time lag on my thing tonight. Let me see if I can get this to... Darn. Why did it do that? Sometimes when you're working with computers, they're not very logical. And
If listeners want to go ahead and refresh the Other Side of Midnight, the link that Torch sent over is there now.
Okay.
They want to listen to it.
Let me get rid of this and go back to this. And where are we here? There we are. Okay. Sorry about that, folks. You know, and it doesn't help that every time I want to do something on my computer, everybody's numbers are flashing up. Okay, now I have to refresh this, right? And I have to go down to the very bottom, probably. This is actually worth it, because this is so bizarre, and what I can't understand is why other people... Oh, no, we don't want that. No, we don't want that. No. Thank you. Why other people haven't picked up on this, because it doesn't sound like it's a normal object. It sounds definitely bizarrely artificial. Okay, it scrolled up out of my field of view. So, okay, here we go. Here we go. Don't you love radio that does that? Come on.
I could probably give it to you through my headset.
No. It'll work here. The problem is there are too many people calling in.
That's a great problem.
Yeah, well, it is if you're not trying to play something on the air. All right. I guarantee you this is worth it. And maybe next time we'll think of this ahead of time and we'll have it set up. And, it's what real-time radio is always supposed to be about. You never know what's going to happen. Okay, this is going to come up. Here we go. Come on. Bob, so do you think you might be able to make it to the States if we set up a conference and did one of these Fathom events?
Can we discuss it on the email?
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
I don't want to put anybody in an unusual position.
Hey, Richard.
Yeah.
Can I just say something?
I'm hearing something.
Oh, you are. Okay.
What is that? Is that it?
Yeah, here it is.
There it is. Okay, let me turn this up. This is supposed to be Comet 67P emitting a natural radio signal. Gentlemen, is that normal? Is that natural?
Wow.
It sent my cats through the roof. They just came running in.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Torch, thank you so much. I'm glad you were able to get that in because, yeah, that alone needs to be explained.
Yeah,
and nobody is dealing with this.
I know.
Okay.
Do comets make noise like that?
No. There's no other comet that's ever made a noise like that. Ha ha. Okay, so. Well, Torch, thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, I just wanted to add that. Thanks. Take care, guys.
You too. Okay, let's see if we can get Pat in here quickly. Good morning, Pat. I'm going to try to go back and find that again to play it because it is so wondrously bizarre. Wow. Pat, are you on?
Yeah, let me turn off my...
Oh, that's good. Yes, yes. You have to definitely turn that off. Otherwise, you will be in limbo. Let's see if I can...
I am
here we are.
67.
Hang on. This is it. This is Comet 67P.
Yeah, I'm looking at that, and it looks like the hull of a ship.
Doesn't it?
Yes. Andrew, it's captured perfectly. It looks like the hull of the ship. Looks like we're looking at the ribbing of some strange architecture here.
That's the exploded Death Star of our system.
Yeah, Keith thinks it's a battle star. I don't.
Oh,
I mean,
Richard,
I can see vaguely. Listen, this sounds like the Flight of the Bumblebee written by aliens.
It's amazing. That's a ship right there. It looks like it's covered with dust to maybe hide it.
It's covered, no. It's covered with the ages of incredible erosion because it's probably maybe a half a billion years old, if not even older, if we're right.
That is amazing.
And this sound is coming from the comet. Wow.
All right, Richard, what is it? Tell us what it is.
Well, I think it's something hyperdimensional. Something is a power source which has kept going and has, maybe it's a beacon. Who knows? You know, it's one of those. Michael, have you joined us?
Oh, that's incredible, Richard. That is fantastic. What a sound, eh?
And what I find amazing is that ESA, which is the European Space Agency, and runs all the scientists and all the nations that are cooperating on Rosetta, you know, taking data on this comet. They put this thing out there just before they went into orbit last August, and there was no comment, and it's just been out there, and nobody has said, that is not a natural sound. That is not what nature does. That's what mechanical stuff does, i.e. what intelligence or robotics does.
Obviously not. How many times has this happened to us and the public doesn't even notice it? It's ridiculous. It's like the commercials on TV, how they make everyone look stupid on the commercials, you know? Like the general public, we're idiots. We don't know how to wash our clothes, so we need to put, these are easier, so put that in there and just be really dumb and don't know anything. You know what I mean? Just be subservient to the powers that be and don't notice anything. Scientific. Don't notice anything artistic. Don't notice anything.
Don't
open your eyes. Don't look at the sky. Don't, you know, just be subservient.
Will, you want to say something?
Say, don't ask questions, right?
Yeah, and don't notice, you know, everyone says, don't smoke a cigarette in front of me. Well, what about the petroleum exhaust coming off all the cars when you're walking down the street?
Okay, Michael, while you're ranting, let me add Darren to the conversation. Darren, good morning. What would you like to add?
How's it going, guys?
Doing great.
All
right. Great, man. Anyways, I think we just need to have more anomaly shows in order to get this stuff out. I mean, I would love to call and talk about what I see on some of these.
Unfortunately, gentlemen, we're at the end of the show. Thank you, Darren. Thank you,
thanks.
Michael. Thank you, Keith, and Will, and Robert, and Andrew, and everyone in the audience. It's the end of another week. On Tuesday morning, we have a very interesting surprise for you. All I can say, it's a major researcher in, wait for it, the UFO field. So until then, remember, third star on the left, straight on till morning. Good night, everybody. Have a great weekend.